응아의 주니야 주두네가 문하초야 에네힐라
Hello and welcome, folks, to another episode of VGCast. I'm your host, Dexter23Jack, a.k.a. Viv, and today I am joined by Chris, a.k.a. Korea9.
That's me.
Woo. Javi, a.k.a. Javiously.
That was
my attempt to do the, what's it called, the eagle vision thing.
Where that was going to be my intro, too.
I mean, you could try it.
Sure.
Javi, you plagiarized Marcus. How could you? Speaking of which,
I'm so sorry.
Marcus, a.k.a. Kulak?
Huh?
And then...
Make random noises.
And then we've got BGK394, a.k.a. Ben.
Hey.
And last but not least, Grace. Alright, and today we are talking about Tachiya, a game that was released, back in April? No, March, actually. Okay, so it's been a couple of months.
Since our last recording, too.
Yeah, true. it's been pretty busy, but yeah, Tachiya, it was a game developed by a small... dev team made out of 12 people, and it kind of focuses, it's kind of based off of the nation of New Caledonia. Caledonia. Okay. I was going to be like, I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. Which is in kind of Indonesia, Pacific Island region. And The game takes place, voice acting takes place in entirely in the island's kind of native languages, which is kind of a mix between French and Dreu. But basically entirely based off of that culture. But yeah, just before we get launched into everything, what were your guys' general thoughts on the game? Don't everybody go at once?
That's the hard part when we're like, we're not on video, so no one knows who's trying to talk. I'll
you gotta pick people,
right? Yeah, I'll start.
Hot potato, gotcha.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It really feels like one of those games that sort of came, like, started development, like, after the team said, "Oh man, I really like this Breath of the Wild game," and also, "Oh man, I really like New Caledonia." Like, how do we come together to make something that sort of combines those two? Because it really, you know, the adventure aspects of Breath of the Wild, like those elements with the stamina bar and just like sort of what's over there. You can really see that in the DNA of this game, mixed with the like tourist sort of like the tourism board that said, "Hey, like look at all our culture too." And I don't know, it combined to create a sort of a fresh experience that I was not particularly expecting. Like, there's also gameplay in the game as well that I wasn't expecting. But, you know, just overall, it's like, oh, this is like a pleasant time. Mixed with a lot of dark moments, but a pleasant time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on that in a bit. But I kind of had bad respect for some of the dark moments. Like, when they came across the screen, part of me was, like, bumping my chest and being like, respect. Woo.
Didn't know it had it in it.
Yeah, pretty much. And then all right, Marcus, who are you passing the hot potato to next?
Javi.
Hello. Yes, Chia, what an interesting game. Yeah, I mean, along with the obvious Breath of the Wild influence you see here. Well, I mean, this might be largely in part due to how I played the time that I did play it. It was hitting me with like, it was feeling kind of like baby's first Assassin's Creed, where like you go to your high point and you populate the map with a bunch of little things that you have to go to and press square on, right? And lots of climbing and collecting, like basically clearing out a super populated map of icons. So that's kind of how I played. Like, I didn't move on from that first big island until it was completely clean, which was fun. It was super fun. Like, I loved uncovering new songs and being able to summon animals on a, you know, on a whim. That made things a lot faster. Unlocking checkpoints and, or what's it called, like fast travel points, and doing all that. So yeah, in that sense, super fun game. I think it's really an ambitious game for a studio that appears to be so small. So yeah, I mean, the one thing that I thought was interesting and kind of hilarious is that the game has an art style that really reminds me of Dreams. I don't know if any of you played Dreams on PlayStation, but like everything has this felt or like fleece texture to it, where like everything looks kind of fuzzy. And Chia like absolutely looks like a Dreams game from top to bottom. It looks like a very good Dreams game, but like you would like possess a deer and start running up a hill, and the animation just looks really wonky, but like that's how it would work in Dreams as well. So I don't know, I thought that was pretty funny. But otherwise, very cool game. I really enjoyed my time with it. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think both you and Marcus kind of touched on it. Obvious Breath of the Wild inspirations. I think it also has very strong Ubisoft open world vibes to it, like where there are these bandit camps that you got to clear out.
Oh, right.
And there's the towers that you climb. They're not really towers, but you know, you get to the high point and you do your eagle thing. And then there's like Breath of the Wild shrines. It's like mini version though. It's like bite size. Cause like, I think I ended up putting like 13 hours into it. You can mainline the story though, I think in like 4 or 5. And all that other stuff is mostly optional. Like, but if you want to make it easier for you, yeah, go do the shrines, because you'll get longer possession mechanic meter and stuff. Like, I had a good time with it. I thought it was fun. It was neat. Like, it was very chill at first, and then there is a dark story twist after it starts moving. I'm like, okay, wasn't expecting that, but we'll get to that when we talk on the story. Grace?
Okay, so I need to preface all of my thoughts on this game by saying that I was not looking forward to playing it at all. Like, I just did not want to play an open world game, pretty much. Like, not that the game didn't look good. It looked fine, other than I watched the trailer before I played any of it, and it was like, hey, you can't see where you are on the map, so you have to navigate using whatever tools we give you. I was like, okay, that sounds absolutely horrible. But anyway, I went in just kind of not really excited for it. So with that in mind, I will say the game looks great. It's fluid, like the animation, I mean, mostly. I think we kind of touched on some of it's a little bit like just kind of janky looking, but in a charming way. But yeah, like the game is very charming and like wholesome, other than like towards the end of the story. But I absolutely just mainlined the story. So that's pretty much all I got out of it. It was like all of the cutscenes and the parts that you play in between them. And it has its moments, but for the most part, it's kind of playing it out of obligation. So I don't really have a whole lot else to say, so I'm just going to go ahead and pass it on to Ben.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I definitely liked the game. I don't think I loved the game, but it's definitely one of the more like ambitious indie games I've played recently. Like, the fact that, you know, 12 people made this is pretty impressive, given like the size and scope of it. Yeah, I do think it's he can kind of like definitely wear out his welcome at times if you try and do everything. But I think overall it's a pretty you know, solid, well put together package. It's definitely got a lot of Breath of the Wild. It's got a little bit of Wind Waker with the whole boat thing, the boat mechanic of sailing around to different islands. But yeah, I think ultimately it doesn't pretend to be anything else than what it is. It's like, yeah, it's a very kind of Zelda-like open world game. And then it kind of just, and they kind of just wanted to do that set in New Caledonia, which they clearly, I think the, you know, a lot of the creators of the game are from there, and they clearly have a lot of like love for that place. And I never even heard of it before playing this game. So it was really kind of cool just to play a game based on, you know, an actual real world location. It seemed pretty cool. Yeah. Overall, I think pretty good, pretty solid game.
Nice. All right. So I believe that means it's my turn. I guess before I go into my thoughts on this game, I should preference that I played this game between Super Mario Odyssey and Tears of the Kingdom. So I feel like a lot of my thoughts on the game are kind of almost it's sandwiched. I feel like when I was thinking of my opinion on this game, I feel like it's hard to judge a lot of it based on its, it was hard for me to judge a lot of it based on its own merits, because I kept comparing it to other games, which, you know, I think that's just the nature of, you know, playing games. Of course, you're going to compare it to stuff. I mean, you see this in games writing all the time. It's like, oh, it's a Souls-like, or, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, it's kind of how we use, you know, language to communicate what a game's all about, what it feels like. But all in all, I think I did really enjoy the game. It was really, really easy for me, though. I felt like I think the moments I died in the game were few and far between, and I rarely got captured during the combat segments. All in all, aesthetically, it looks gorgeous. The music is a huge part of the game too, and I like every time, like, you know, like a new chapter would open and you'd be sailing around and they would just like start like a new jam up, and I couldn't help but just start tapping my foot. So all in all, really like the game. But yeah, I'll go into kind of more of my particulars with my issues with the games here in a little bit. But yeah, so with that said, let's start with gameplay this time. As we've said, it controls a lot like Breath of the Wild, but I mean, what exactly does that mean to you guys? I mean, is Breath of the Wild, do people just look at climbing mechanics and endurance?
I mean, or it wider to like
the like core of playing Breath of the Wild, like other than, you know, your magnetism and all that stuff, but like it's hop off a cliff, activate your glider, attach to a wall, climb that, and manage your stamina, and it's like identical in that sense.
Don't forget possessing birds, 100% from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I was
surprised there's not a sprint button. I feel like it's missing a sprint button.
You can sprint as animals, right?
Right.
Not as
certain
yeah,
ones.
Yeah. 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 Not like, I guess a turtle can't sprint, but
humans, or like the dolphin can sprint, but the shark can't.
Humans obviously can't run. So, I mean, that's kind of where this game is coming from. True. So I understand that.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while. I don't think I can anymore. but yeah, no, I think I agree with all what y'all are saying for Breath of the Wild. I'm actually playing that for the first time finally, just because all this Tears of the Kingdom talk, and I was just like, you know what, it's time to see what people are talking about. And so I actually started that a little bit before Chia, and then I've continued it a little bit here after. And so I agree with a lot of that. I think oddly enough, even the hey, come go eat this food stuff. You know, Breath of the Wild, it's more involved. You're cooking it up yourself. But here in the game, it's just like, hey, you want to stop by that camp and just, you know, steal people's food. And I think that's just another one of those bits where it's like, yep, this will help your stamina and help your like little possession bar go back up. And then also, you can just sort of see a little bit more of the culture with that, which I thought was neat to see. It's like, what are these fools eating over here? Sometimes it looked pretty good. Other times, I don't know what it was, and I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I also noticed. Like, basically, you know, you can either go to food stands placed around the island, or you can, you know, just set up, sit down a campfire, and it'll just be like, oh, eat option. And based on the region of the island you're in, it'll be like, oh, here are these, you know, like mini kind of burrito rolls in this part of the island. In this other part of the island, it's like, you know, like a pasta with shrimp in it, that sort of thing. So that was pretty cool. I wonder how much of that is like, I guess for, you know, all of us grew up in the States, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the prospect of, what was that?
No, I'm saying I have. I'm not going to speak for some of the other folks here, but yeah, me.
Yeah.
Just we all prospect. Have.
The prospect of just like going around and getting like free food is just very foreign to me. Like, I don't know, maybe that's a cultural thing, or maybe that's a gameplay mechanic where it's just like, oh, you know, we need to give them some way to, you know, like refill their soul meter, which we'll get to in a moment. But
yeah, hey, have you never been to Sam's Club?
Right, all the free stuff.
Yeah, just like it.
I think it's just a gameplay. Like, those are set up like they're kind of like food stands for people to go to. Like, I think if you had currency, and there is currency in this, but it's not used to like buy food. It's to buy more cosmetics. There's so many cosmetics. I think it's just like a gameplay mechanic. Like, you need to do this because there's always food just waiting at a campfire too. Like, you don't need to make anything. It's just there. You just go to the campfire and eat. And like, do people just leave random food lying around in New Caledonia? Like, I think it's just a gameplay thing.
Yeah, but I meant in the sense of like, you know, maybe like, you know, they view food as more of a, you know, human right than we do in the States.
Sure.
I'm probably overthinking it, but
yeah, I mean, there's definitely some, you know, the corporations are coming in and ruining our beautiful island type themes to it. But I don't know if they're trying to make a statement on food scarcity and the right of food with Gia.
Their beautiful colonized already island.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think, what else. So, like Chris said, so many cosmetics in this game, like to the point where like if only 12 people worked on this game, maybe like one or two of them, their full-time job was just cosmetics.
Like, put in a chest that you may never find.
Yeah, that was really impressive, because you had stuff like Marvel's Avengers where it's like, oh, here's all the gear. It doesn't actually change anything, but, you know, here you go. And to go from that to this small team being able to just like, yep, here's a band, here's a, like, you know, all these shirts, here's a whole like outfit. Like, I was really impressed by that. And I'm surprised that, like, I don't think any of it was like if you pre-ordered it, then you got the super suit or anything like that. I it was just there in the game. That was cool.
Yeah, but just on cosmetic wise, this game went above and beyond. Although, like, in terms of like actual costumes, I'm just like, oh, there's a lobster cup, a costume, and I'm just like, I'm never gonna touch that.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say that's the only one I need.
I'm never taking this off. Yeah, exactly.
You wear the whole game.
Dax is just running around as a lobster the entire time.
Nah, I mean, like, Tachiya, I mean, we'll get into this in the story, but I pretty much was just like, okay, I'm gonna give her the biggest butch look possible, because, you know, she's out there, meets a girl for the first time, and then like 20 minutes later she's already making out with her, and I'm just like, damn, you got game, girl.
Well, you know, I mean, you watch someone decapitate a chicken for you, and you know, that's it forever.
Gosh,
I don't know if that's the girl she kisses. I didn't get that far.
Okay, good to know. But that is the girl she kisses. Very, very sexy behavior.
See, I can tell.
I mean, since we're talking about it openly, Javi, yes, that is the girl that she stays with forever. So
perfect. See, true romance.
But I mentioned this earlier, but like difficulty wise, how did you guys find this game? Because I felt like there was no challenge like whatsoever. Like with Breath of the Wild, I think part of the fun is like, you know, you go to different shrines, you update your like endurance so you can climb, you know, objects you couldn't climb before. You can swim across, you know, bits of river that you couldn't before. You know, you collect more hearts so you can fight more powerful enemies without getting like one-shotted. Whereas with this game, I felt like it was very just like, hey, we want an opportunity to show off the culture of this island. So, you know, and I feel like that's very apparent because, you know, like in certain, like every time you pause the game, you can be like, oh, skip gameplay segment, or like you're doing a music rhythm part of the game, and I'll be like, oh, do you want to just autoplay and enjoy the song without having to, you know?
If you mess up enough, it's just like, you're not playing anymore. Like, what is going?
You're ruining the song.
I was like, it's done. Oh, cool. And it just kept going for another minute. And like, this never ends.
Yeah, they go on forever. Did the on-screen prompt start glitching out for any of you? Because they started like flickering all over the place. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't want to do this anyway. So I just put it on autoplay.
Are you talking about the kind of rhythm wheel where it's like A, B, C, D? Maybe like once or twice, but nothing consistent.
Like the last like four or five of them that I did, like they were just flickering all over the place. I'm like, all right, well, it's probably best I don't do this. And then I found out that you can hit pause and skip the song entirely, which was lovely. So I started doing that.
I wish I would have known that, because I just put, after the first one, I put every single one on autoplay.
Just like, yeah,
there's too many of these. Every single time I thought like, okay, you know, like the third one, like I thought like, okay, that's probably good enough. Like there may be like one at the end, but then there's just like more and more. Like, good God, how many rhythm mini games do you need in this one game?
So like, many mini games. There's so many. Like, there's the rhythm mini game. There's the rock stacking mini game. There's the shooting mini game. There's races. There's like the
sculpting.
The chiseling to make the icons to open the shrines was a neat touch, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not begrudging that they have all this variety. I think that's kind of cool, and a lot of them are pretty fun. I mean, on the topic of difficulty, though, like, yes, it was. At least what I played was never hard, but neither did I want it to be. Like, this kind of game, I'm just like there for the vibes. Like, it, when I was spending all that time clearing the map, I was just basically relaxing, right? And the music, the one track when you're exploring that first island is very short, and it just plays the same thing forever. So at a certain point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pull up the Death Stranding soundtrack. And I just started listening to the Death Stranding music while I did my work. And that was great. So, yeah, good times.
This game needs more Kojima. No. Not that Kojima's a music composer, but you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my biggest thing as far as difficulty was, like, you don't know when you're going to die most of the time because there's no health bar.
So that too.
Like, if you're getting attacked or whatever.
It's your stamina bar.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it can be empty, and then like you can like fall from a fairly large height and not die. But that was the other thing. It's like, I don't know when fall damage will actually kill you. So it's kind of like a trial and error sort of thing. But yeah, like I only died a few times, and most of it was just me like falling stupidly, or I got captured a few times. But that's literally like, if you get captured inside the factories that you have to do later in the game, you literally just start right inside of them, so it's not really a big deal.
They put you in a cage that you could open up.
Yeah. almost no difficulty. Like, the hardest part is if you die like out when you're exploring, you pretty much get warped to a campfire that may be nowhere near where you were, and because the map doesn't show you where you are, it's hard to figure out where you were and how to get back to it.
How are you
playing the game that you were dying so much? Like, what was happening? Because like the one time I died was like you mentioned at that factory, and I just fell in like one of those like smokestacks, because I thought like, oh, I'm supposed to jump in here. That wasn't true. I was supposed to throw stuff in there.
I did that too.
And I thought what is it? You can so we'll get to this I guess in a second, but you can basically a big part of the game is like you can possess pretty much everything from a rock to animals to, you know, a lamp. So like a lot of the game operates off of that. But one of the creatures you can possess is like this tiki looking thing that can throw fireballs. So I'm like, oh, I could probably use this to blow up the smokestacks, but I couldn't get the right angle on it. So I tried jumping above it and throwing a bunch of fireballs down it. And that didn't work. So, you know, it's like I had to gather like a bunch of like lamps so I could, you know, basically bomb the smokestacks.
We're talking about all the games this reminds us of, but nobody's brought up Geist. So remember the GameCube classic Geist?
I haven't played it since the GameCube was actually still the current system, so I remember almost nothing except that you can't possess things.
Yeah, you're like a ghost.
And I couldn't play that game because it was rated M. I really wanted to for the longest time, but by the time I could play rated M games, it was better. A bit more expensive.
Well, it's not very good, so you didn't miss out on much. But it is a neat mechanic, and you can possess both like living things and inanimate objects. Like, but you have to like scare the living things to be able to make them vulnerable. So like if you want to scare a dog, you have to possess its dog food bowl and like basically do a jump scare at it while it's eating, and then you can possess the dog. But I don't know, big Geist vibes from Chia.
Yeah, speaking of like that, the Chia has this weird thing about like you can store anything in your backpack, including animals. So
what? Oh my god, I didn't even know that.
Why do I have a snake in here?
But like, that's what I did for a while before I had the ability to summon birds. Is anytime I saw a bird, I would grab it and stick it in my backpack. So I could just pull it out and possess it to fly around whenever I wanted. But then you get like the summon power, and I just played the bird summon song. Use that all the time. But that was such a funny concept that you can just grab an animal and stuff it in your backpack and just have it whenever you want.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the backpack mechanic, I think it could have been done more elegantly, and because I feel like the button mapping on this or something about how it all came together, I always had to think really hard about how to do certain things or get to my inventory or whatever. But it does kind of allow for a lot of flexibility and experimentation with what animals you bring with you. You can kind of prepare for the journey. I'm kind of torn on the whole map thing, not having a live view of where you are. Like, that got really annoying at certain times, but then it is kind of fulfilling to be like, okay, I'm going to put this checkpoint down and I won't know where I am until I reach it, right? When you reach it, you're like, okay, I have a baseline, and now where do I go from here? So it makes you kind of think a little bit more carefully about your route and what you're going to do next. So I do appreciate that. It's just in the moment when you're in the middle of nowhere and you have no like frame of reference for where you're at. I know you can do that clicking the left stick, but that's such a wide range that it's not very useful. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. I both like it and dislike it.
I think I'm in the same camp on that front. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, I guess I'm not so much in the same camp, partially because the scope of the game is so small that it's real easy to like, okay, yep, you know, these are like the 6 points that you can work to, and then you can see stuff in relation to those 6 points. So I guess for me, it was never really like too hard to, you know, sort of keep my sense of location, and so then that coupled with, like you mentioned, that clicking in just to be like, okay, it's sort of like to the northeast from where I am. That was enough for me to get around the game.
Yeah. That's fair.
I think you already brought this. Sorry for interrupting you, Grace, but I think you already brought this up, Javi. But like those signposts, I think that that helped a little, but they aren't as common as I'd want them to be.
The what now?
The signpost.
The hell are you talking about?
So all the signposts that have like arrows going in different directions, you can press square. You can press whatever except on at them, and it'll put a little stamp and be like, this is your last location. So it's just kind of a permanent frame of reference, because otherwise you're just using your pin for everything,
which is what I did. Just
yeah,
here's a pin, and then find the compass and run towards my pin.
Well, yeah, I almost wonder if the game would benefit from being even more challenging, right? Because if you're gonna kind of try to give people that sense of true exploration and, like, you know, babying your compass, like, maybe don't have the map, the mini map version of, you know,
yeah,
what you can have. Yeah, just have the compass. That might be a better way to do it. I don't know, because it felt like it was giving you a little bit more information to where it didn't feel truly like a survival find your own way kind of game. It was kind of like a half step, which was a little confusing.
If I didn't have the compass just like pointing towards like indicators for the missions, yeah, and stuff, I would not have played it at all. I would have stopped.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dex.
I keep interrupting everybody today. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think accessibility was a huge like emphasis in this game, because I think they didn't want any like gameplay barriers to enjoying the game, because they kind of wanted to, you know, draw awareness to this country. So, I mean, like if you go into the accessibility menu, there's a ton of options. There's a ton of options too. I think the only one thing that wasn't accessible, I guess, was like when you're walking by people in the environment, their text bubbles are just so small. Like I would have to like get up and be like, what are they saying? Oh, okay, that's what they're saying. So yeah. Just in general, accessibility, a huge emphasis with this game. Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I forgot what I was gonna say.
I did want to do a shout out real quick to, because I sort of dunked on the graphics a little bit, because it looks like Dreams so much, but or even like, you know, we could talk about how this is like a lesser Breath of the Wild or whatnot, but man, that water is some of the most stunning water I've seen in any video game. Like it's so gorgeous. I mean, you see through it and the colors and how it reflects the big colorful sky. Everything about the water, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This feels like a breath of fresh air coming through the TV. So, shout out to the water.
Yeah, indubitably.
Were you that Wii U water guy?
Am I the Wii? Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know who that is, but yeah.
I honestly sort of agree with you, read the water. One of the things, like one of the early missions early on, was to get like those oyster pearls for just sort of one of the, I'm going to call it a totem, but I know they used a different term in the game. And I was having the hardest time with that. But when I started like sailing around at nighttime, it's like, oh yeah, they're like shining underneath the water. And it's just this real pretty glow that makes it real, like very readable of like, oh, okay, there's like something down there to investigate. Let me just jump out of my boat going full speed and see what's up. And I don't know, like stuff like that to me is just like, yeah, I didn't know this anything was going to be here. It's not like maybe this is something that would have revealed itself had I scouted out the map, but being able to just wander around and find stuff that I needed, I thought was a real nice touch on the game. And it sort of goes back to a little bit of what Dax was saying as far as, you know, I guess I wouldn't even call it call it accessibility for the stuff that I'm talking about, but it's more so just they've provided a lot of options for folks to really reduce the amount of friction with the game, where it's like, you just want the story? Oh, we got you. You don't want any story? We got you. Like, you can just explore. Like, it really gives players that sort of sense of freedom. And like what you were talking about, Javi, with like, you know, you just want the compass? Like, all right, just click on the compass. Don't even look at the map. Like, yeah, some of that stuff is you have to self-impose on yourself and fight the urge to sort of look at the map. But I do like that they sort of try and provide as many options to folks as possible to just really experience the game.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, and just from everybody's impressions, like, this game is just very inoffensive, and like, it's not, there's nothing really to like gripe about in general. You really have to like reach to be mad about something in this game, right? Except for Grace is mad that she has to play it.
Yeah, I could get into more of that, but I'm not going to.
I mean, I was in a similar boat. Like, I started this game on Wednesday this week, like, so a few days ago, and really haven't had time to play more other than today. Like, so I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning and played until we started recording, and actually it's been super fun. I'm really enjoying it. But like, I got Tears of the Kingdom, you know, like, I don't want to be playing this right now. So, but with that in mind, like, I did enjoy it. I think it's a good game, and I'm happy that I did try it. And I probably, like, if I find myself, you know, with a lull and nothing to do, I could definitely see myself just picking it back up and finishing it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And to be fair, this is a great podcast game. Like, I spent with me, I kind of did kind of like, I'm like, oh, this is Breath of the Wild. I should be able to just, you know, fuck off and do whatever I want. So when I was doing the game, I didn't realize that, oh, I don't have my possession ability. So I kept running into situations where I was just like, okay, how am I supposed to maneuver this? And I did that for about 6-8 hours before I got the possession ability. But no, I'm glad you still enjoyed it after playing Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. I keep wanting to call it Breath of the Wild 2, which I know it pretty much is, but regardless, I was kind of worried that Tears of the Kingdom would discolor your kind of perception of the game. Just be like, this is good, but it isn't Tears of the Kingdom. I was kind of afraid that would kind of
That's definitely there, like, because the games are mechanically, just the way you traverse are very similar. So, like, jumping off of a ledge and, you know, hitting the jump button again to open your glider, in Zelda it happens instantly and it has that really satisfying like floof sound when your glider catches the air. But in Chia, it like takes an extra second or two, and I'm like, did it work? And I'll press it again, and then she like pulls it out and puts it away immediately. I'm like, no. You know, so there's a little bit of a, you can tell, like, when you're going from one game to the other, it's like, oh, there's a level of quality that this isn't meeting it at, or like, it just kind of the way it sounds and feels, you can tell that this is made by a very small team. But all that considered, it's still very enjoyable. It's still like very impressive considering all that. I think it's a good game. A very good game.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that was something I think I tried to tell myself a lot while playing this game. I was just like, you know, like I said, I kind of like the feeling in Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, when you're climbing a slope and you just barely have like enough stamina to get over the edge, or you're so close and you just don't have enough stamina and you fall. I try to tell myself like, oh, some QA folks probably had to just like do that a million times just to get the feeling they wanted for the game, and they obviously couldn't do that with just a 12-person development team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that was just something I was trying to give it a break, and like with the you compared the game to Geist earlier on, but I guess for me, it really resembled Super Mario Odyssey, especially like when you possess something like each well, at least each animal, like, it'll give them, like, that little flower on their head, kind of like Mario's little mustache in Super Mario Odyssey. But the thing was, in Super Mario Odyssey, each unique enemy or, you know, NPC, had, like, its own specific action. Like, you know, oh, you possess this, you know, Easter Island statue. It's going to pull down its shades. Oh, you possess this, a Galapagos Island bird that uses its, you know, like, beak to kind of, like, fling yourself upwards and catapult you. So, you know, whereas in this, there wasn't a ton of unique actions. Like, with most animals, it was just like, oh, you have a sprint button now, or, oh, this animal doesn't have a sprint button. You're probably not going to use it.
I mean, you had the poop button. If you
yes.
a chicken, you could poop everywhere. And that's like, you need to do it at one point, I think, to progress a quest.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. And there you get the crab. There's a treasure. If you're doing the treasure quest line, like one of the puzzles, you have to possess a crab because the crab can undo the chain, which I don't understand why Chia just can't break the chain. Like, but yeah, like that. I mean, depending upon which thing you possessed, it had some stuff. There was definitely like fish grid. It could, all the fish can sprint except for the shark, I guess. That they have some neat gameplay reasons to do it, but it's not like designed around that.
Yeah, sure. I liked, so I got to that crab chest that you have to break the chains with mm-hmm. with the crab, yeah. And like there's no crabs anywhere nearby, so that was like the time where I implemented the whole like pick up a crab, put it in my inventory, walk back, and then pull it out of my inventory. Like, and I found that really rewarding or satisfying to be like, okay, I had a plan, right? I'm going to go out to the beach where I know there's crabs. I'm going to grab it, come back. I'm going to leave a pin here so I know where to come back to, you know? I don't know. I think this game has lots of little mini, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving it way too much credit, but it feels like a little mini story that you're like, okay, I got to go get my crab. I got to come here. And you have to figure that out for yourself. It's not like there's just a bunch of crabs all nearby the thing where you need a crab. Even with the totems, like that same thing, the wood carving thing, like you have to have a plan. Where am I going and what kind of totem do I need to carve beforehand? So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
There was a crab there though, Javi.
Was there really? Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to find that crab. It was in the cutscene and I tried to find it everywhere and I couldn't.
I found him on the rock on the other side of that little island, but it was a kind of like a, I probably did what you guys did. Like, where the hell is this thing? And then I just, I went into the possession mode, which highlights stuff you can possess.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to find it that way. But neat that you went all the way out. brought a crab. Like, God damn it. I'll bring my own crab.
Whoops.
That place there, because that also has, is, if we're talking about the same area, there's like an underground tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not upgraded my stamina all the way, and I didn't realize there is like a song that you can play that gives you like a
unlimited.
Yeah. Like, that was the one part where I had challenged, because I didn't do the song, and I'm like just pushing myself trying to get to the water. Like, yeah. to the water break where I could get some oxygen again.
Well, that's like a, I mean, that song, unfortunately, is doing exactly what I was just talking about, where that song is available right next to that cave where you need that, right? So you're meant to discover that.
And yes.
But like, you could also do what I did with the crab and, like, put a fish in your inventory and then possess the fish and make it through no problem. So, like, there's, like, lots of creative ways to go about these things, even though it might, you know, mean you never get that song, which would suck.
So I, like, my visceral dislike of that, like, bad Guitar Hero sequence meant I never did those songs of my own accord. So it was only ever sort of like the story induced ones. It wasn't till, like, post game that I saw that, oh, there's, like, these songs can do powers and give you stuff. I thought they were just the like the cultural touchstone bits. So
oh man,
and they're only four notes too.
yeah. I like just because of how long those other songs were, I was like, I don't got time for this shit. I'm just gonna go like not even gonna mess
no,
up.
No, and it's they're actually really easy to remember. Like if you pull it up, like bird is B-A-A-D.
Bad.
Yeah, and then yeah. The tiki thing that lets you throw fireballs, that's face. So that's just like really easy to remember for a four-note fair. It's like they basically tried to make a actual sounding word. It's like there's a way to summon a different fruit, and you can be like beef, B-E-F, or something like that. So it was actually really nice, and it was that was also really nice because I could you can do like Majora's Mask and like turn it to nighttime, and then it's easier to look for collectibles that way.
Oh, that's clever.
Because they always give off that green shine. So
That's cool.
That's so funny how all the collectibles are like way easier to find at night because they all glow. So like I would routinely, whenever night came out, I was like, this is prime like collectible hunting time because everything is getting way more visible at night, which is so funny. It's like the opposite of any other video game.
I didn't realize that you could turn into that tiki thing, Dax, until you just said that from one of the songs. And I actually just uninstalled it because I was like, I can't figure out how to take down this one. Like, the bigger bases have like these sentries on top. And I was going around clearing all those, and I was like, I can't throw a gas can up there and make it explode. I can't get these sentries. I don't know what to do. So I uninstalled it. But now you saying that, I could just transform into a tiki torch behind the sentry and burn them that way. So
yeah, or you could just like store a bunch of like gas canisters or lamps because a lot of them tend to be like congregated, and you can stock up on like three or four of those. That's kind of how I handled the the factory chimney quest. That made it a lot easier.
Yeah, I was putting that stuff in my inventory, which I guess I probably could have done. I could have put the dumb gas cans in my inventory and just walked up,
yeah,
possessed it there. I didn't think of that.
Take a bird, fly up there, and then change and throw the gas can at that point once you're like above it.
Yeah, I think I was just maybe after 13 hours done with it. So
you're fine. But it took me a while to realize that too. Because I kept for the longest time my entire inventory was like gold trophies because I'm like I should keep these around for the crane game.
Yeah, and then you can't like, and then you have to store them away if you need anything in your bag. And I felt bad, like so. There's just trophies scattered around New Caledonia now.
Yeah, and there's only two claw machines. There's only two claw machines too. So once you're done with those two claw machines, you have no use for the trophies unless you're collecting them for like the gift when you're like meeting like a leader or a tribal elder or whatever.
Right.
And you can always have a point though, because like I also did the same thing. If like I got these trophies, it's going to be important later for sure. And then like I never used them.
Yeah, you use them in the like they're the currency to get the claw game to work. That seems to be it.
Oh, is that back in the city?
There's one in the city, and there's one in, like, a little village on the other island.
Huh.
Yeah, but I think the claw machine also sometimes gives you trophies. Like,
yes,
it does.
Gives you back trophies, yep.
Cosmetics, but it also can also give you trophies, which is so funny, because you just, like, dump a trophy in and get another one back. It was so weird.
Don't you feel rewarded, though? You did it.
Yes, so.
I mean, there is a reason, like, if you're going for the trophies, they're, like, the actual PlayStation trophies, there's a reason to use the claw machine. There's a certain hat or something in one of them that you need. But otherwise, I don't really know why you'd play the claw machine.
Fair enough. Well, you know, I think we've been talking about the game quite a bit. Do you want to touch briefly on the story and then wrap this up?
Yeah. So, yeah, we touched on it earlier, but I was kind of surprised by the story. Obviously, the game follows the titular character, T'Chia. She grew up on a isolated...
Did you say Mario?
No, I said Tachia. I didn't say that.
Do you say Mario? I'm gonna.
Oh, no, no, no. I say Mario. I'm not Chris.
But it's Chia, Dax.
Chia. No, but you follow Chia. It's less fun to say it that way, though. She grows up on an isolated island with her father, and the only person who her only point of contact to the outside world is this white Rasta dude named Trey. And on your 10th birthday, Trey comes to visit, and the next morning, out of nowhere, a gunship comes out of nowhere. And, you know, this guy with a machete comes out with these cloth soldiers. Like, they're basically tiki heads wrapped in cloth. They kidnap your father. And then you're set out on a journey to find your father and get him back. And, yeah, you basically go through a bunch of different, like, fetch quests. And then after you confront the main antagonist, this, when I first saw posters of this dude, I thought it was like a Muslim. I thought it was a Muslim like woman with the hijab on. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice for a villain. But then you actually meet them and it's just like, oh, you're straight up a monster who eats babies. Oh, okay, cool. And
yeah. Well, and up until you meet him, it seems like, all right, yeah, the dad gets kidnapped and something, like, it don't make a whole lot of sense, but like you're going on a fetch quest to like get trophies and a chicken, and like it's like this is pretty goofy, like it's chill. And then you get up there and you learn that he like is an actual monster that eats babies and like takes a turn.
Yeah, no, it definitely takes a turn. And then basically after you reveal yourself to this guy, he's like, yeah, this guy's going to go after everybody you love. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I had a crush on that girl. So you go back to the girl, you meet her and enough time to sing a song. And then you guys both run back to her village, which confused me because we both see the smoke coming from her village. I turn into a literal bird. I fly over to the village, but somehow your crush has enough time to make it to the village in enough time to get kidnapped.
She's faster. She's just faster, yes, than you, Dax. She's got the speed.
But and then after that, you meet this nerdy kid. And he's like, hey, you know that guy who is cleaning the floors at the main villain's hideout? Yeah, that's my father. I need help getting him back. In order to do this, we're going to carry out a well-executed plan to get rid of all the energy from these facilities so we can bomb the main factory, take out all the energy so we can free all the adults and get your father back. So you do all of this, you know, you've got a bunch of like Otacon missions where it's like, oh, please take a please take a picture of the facility so we can diagnose their weaknesses. Or you can just be like, oh, obviously I need to blow this up. And then once you blow it up, the guy's like, oh, I guess you didn't need me at all. Well, good luck. Good job figuring that out. And then after, I'm sorry, I'm giving a 7-year-old summary of the game, just going through it like beat by beat. And then there was this cool thing where it was playing about.
But Dax, like, I think, like, so you do all that, you and then they kill your dad.
They kill all the adults, like, basically.
This thing that, like, you've been, like, I'm gonna say, like, that's been the quest the entire time, but there's, like, all the adults are now dead.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, like, you think, like, oh, he locked them up, at the very least, he's not gonna get rid of all these, quote-unquote, potential resources, and then he locks up the camp, prevents them all from escaping, and then it's just like, you know what, you've hurt our operation so much, I'm gonna hurt you, and just throws a bomb and kills, like, 30 adults, and they're all scattered all over the ground, and you're just like, holy shit, And then basically you walk away from this and you go back to the island with this elder woman. And after, you know, you figure out like, oh, this dude ate my brother. I used to be royalty, yada, yada, yada. She comes up to the woman. It's just like, what's the point in stopping him now? Everybody's dead. Just like, it was like one of those moments where it was like, shit, what the fuck? And then the old woman's like, don't worry, I have the MacGuffin that's going to kill this motherfucker. And it's like, what? You couldn't have given that to me earlier? Before these 30 adults died? So I was mad at the old woman. Very mad at the old woman.
I'm a little unclear on who is she again? Did they ever say?
She was the woman who saved, gave you enough time to... give your dad time to escape with you when you were a kid, and then she raised your mom to become this like warrior woman.
Oh, she was the other warrior?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. Cool, thanks.
Oh yeah, and I guess we're just skipping over the whole thing that like your dad and mom were king and queen of New Caledonia, and you and your brother have magic powers. And yeah,
it, honestly, like if you kind of tell, this could be a Disney princess movie if you really wanted it to, complete with all the songs. And for most people, they'll only remember one or two songs, even though there's like five or six like song segments throughout the game that most people would probably just be like, eh, those weren't necessary.
Yeah,
I guess most people.
Well, I mean, like let's be real, even the Bruno song wasn't good.
Shut your mouth. But yeah, and then basically you guys all come up with this plan to purposely get Eden, and then you go into the belly of the beast. You kill the guy from the inside, and then he throws up all the kids he's been eating for all these years, who magically haven't aged, and then everything's like, oh wow, everything's right in the world, and then the motherfucking shaman who started this whole ordeal is like, yeah, I'm gonna take your brother hostage, gets on his plane, and then kills your brother, your like one-year-old brother.
And oh, then yeah, he, right, because inside the monster, time doesn't move. So your brother, who's your twin, is just he's still just a baby.
Yeah. So you know, there's a huge like nine year age difference now. But and then in response to this, T'Chia jumps into the air, possesses his freaking machete, cuts off his freaking arm. And then isn't able to kill him, so on the way down, she gives him, like, the double bird, and is just like, fuck you! And then you get back to down to the ground, and the white Rasta guy is just like, hey, I have the ability to, you know, save your brother's life at the cost of my own life. Life transfer jutsu! Blah! And then the game ends with you going back to the beginning, where an older an older Chia and her, you know, chicken killing wife are taking care of like an orphan village of kids.
And then, it goes back to gameplay, so you can do your like Jack Marston getting your epilogue sort of stuff.
Going oh yeah, you can closure. you can go to the graves and go continue to collect all the collectibles that are out there. Also, if you go and find the hand of the guy you chopped off, like, and possess that, you can bounce around a little bit. It's neat.
That's great. Yeah, I'm still playing the game right now. I was trying to finish it all before vacation, so I don't know if you can actually get revenge on that shaman, or if you can just possess his disembodied thing hand, like the creature from the Addams Family. So yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm guessing there might be something once you take down all the, all the enemy encampments?
Yeah, like the bases, yeah. I don't know. I didn't finish them all up.
So yeah, I will let you guys know if there's anything on that front, because I really wanted to kill that shaman motherfucker.
But yeah, for a game that is pretty like, this is like whimsical and fun. Like you're camping and gliding and picking up like stuff along the way. Like the narrative is pretty dark.
Yeah, I think maybe that's an interesting cultural thing of like this game does on the surface feel like it's kind of family friendly, you know, and then it throws this stuff in there and it's like, maybe that is family friendly over there. I don't know. Or I don't know if they're trying to do a bait and switch. It doesn't seem like it to me, but
even the chicken, like walking around with its head cut off, is like, this is, yeah, wasn't expecting this.
It's super morbid. Yeah.
The chicken won't die. It's perpetually in the state of being alive and undead at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, just when I thought they got tired of that joke, it comes back at the end of the credits. Just like stands there for a minute. Like, okay, I guess we're not done with it.
But yeah, we've been talking about this game for a while. Like Marcus said, I felt like there was a lot to say, which is good, because so even if all of us seemed like we had our own issues with the game, I felt like the fact that I was able to elicit such discussion is something to say in its own right. But before we go ahead and wrap up and give our final thoughts, we already touched on visuals. Besides hating some of the Guitar Hero music sequences, how did you guys like the music in the game?
I would say that, you know, honestly, like, you know, not liking that those sequences went on too long, blah, 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 blah. I think because the sort of like epilogue has that sort of bit come back, it hits a little harder and it sort of drives home the point of like, no, this, like, this music means something to them. You know, this is culturally significant. And so I don't know. I think I respected it more for that, for being like, yep, this like may not be like dynamic music like you'd expect. It sort of gets a little bit repetitive, but it has some significance. It lets you soak it in. And so I respect it for that.
Great. What about you, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, I ultimately liked it. And for a team of 12, very kind of like impressive, actually, for the amount of gameplay that they put into it, whether, you know, you want to get into that music or not. I don't know. It works, I think, for the game. And it all being in, what would you say, Drehu?
It's a mix of French and Drehu.
And most of the music seems to be in that, the native tongue. I thought it was good. Like, it works. I do think, as Javi said, though, like, it gets repetitive in the open world area, and it kind of just blurs together.
Fair enough. What about what about you, Ben and Grace? Did you have any thoughts, or pretty much what everybody else said?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the music goes, I think it was pretty good. It's nothing like super amazing or revolutionary, but the, you know, I think the adding those musical sequences, those sort of Guitar Hero sequences, are neat, a nice change of pace. But I did really enjoy the sort of, you know, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, you know, pull out your ukulele, play a short little tune, and have it, you know, summon a thing or change, you know, night to day, or, you know, just affect the world in some way. I think that's really, really cool, really cool, just simple mechanic to let you do something, and but also like apply it to sort of a gameplay mechanic. Yeah, I think that element of it, integrating that into it, was really, really neat.
Great. Yeah, now I can't say anything that really hasn't already been said about it. It was there. It did its job like that. But that's not to say anything about this game's music specifically. That's just kind of how I feel about a lot of music in modern games. So it's, to me, it's just kind of, it's there. It exists.
Cool. So, did anybody else want to add anything before we go into our final thoughts?
I'm good.
All right. Death Stranding soundtrack works really well when you're just clearing the map. Just throwing that out there.
I might have to give that a shot. I still need to clear up a little bit of each major island.
Nice.
But hey, Marcus, since you spoke first, why don't you give your final thoughts first?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, I you know, this is a game that borrows from a lot of inspiration. I respect what this team was able to accomplish. You know, with such limited resources, honestly, am surprised at how much gameplay variation was there that I didn't know existed. So like that sort of just ups that level of respect on my side. I'm glad I played it. I'm also really grateful that the game, you know, it didn't do any of that sort of open world gating where it's like, oh, well, you got to do a bunch of these things in order to progress the main mission. Like there was a few things that you could potentially fall into that trap of doing that for main story progression. But like, even still, the game's like, oh, no, just do these few things and you'll just keep going. And so like, I really like that because it's like, okay, cool. Like there are times where it's like, I just want to keep going. I don't really want to explore, and that the game gave me that sort of option was great. You know, I'll echo what others are saying with the visuals, really like that. Something I don't think we touched on is that they did post-launch add a performance mode, and that is how I played the game, is the 60 FPS. You know, the frame rate and those sort of little graphical touches that you give up for that, for me, were worth it. It just made for a really pleasant experience that I could just pick up sort of at the end of the night, winding down. It's definitely one of those games that like I'd recommend to folks who are into that sort of experience. But it's not anything that's going to present a challenge. If that's what you look for in a game, it's like really overcoming a challenge. I don't think that's really for those folks. I think it's for when you really just want to soak in this environment, get a little taste of the culture, and just have like a nice little adventure game.
Yeah, well, well said. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a game that isn't trying anything like super revolutionary. It's kind of, you know, doing a lot of stuff that's been done before, but I think largely this is pretty much mostly a game about New Caledonia itself. That's sort of what the developers wanted to showcase and illustrate and kind of show to other people and other people playing it, and I think they largely succeeded in that, you know, in that endeavor. You know, maybe not the most interesting or unique or really, really clever, brilliant game design, but at least, you know, they showed, you know, this location, which a lot of them are from. And I think that's ultimately really, really cool. And I think they mostly succeeded in that.
All right. And then, Grace, you've already mentioned your caveats about the game. And I think it also didn't help that, like, playing too many open world games, like, together. I think that also impacts your opinion of games like this. But overall, what were your final thoughts?
No, so I'm going to kind of like push all of that aside and say, like, from what everybody else has been talking about, I think this game like has a lot of interesting elements, like what we were talking about, like being able to kind of like find your own solution to puzzles, like, you know, bring your own crap or whatever. And like having the different powers, I never touched any of that, so like I'm missing a huge chunk of like most of the things that we've kind of talked about, which makes me feel like I obviously didn't get anywhere near the most out of the game that I could have. So I appreciate that all of that exists in it, and I think that if I had been kind of like more receptive and like prepared to kind of throw myself into an open world game, like fully, like exploration and all of that, it may have been more enjoyable. Like, I may have not had the complaints that I have. I can't say that for sure, of course. Like, I don't know without, like, basically erasing it from my mind and going back at some other point when I'm actually in the mood for it. But that's the way it feels, just from what everybody else has said. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave it. It's like, I went in not getting the most out of the game that I could have, and I think from hearing people that did get the most out of it, it sounds much more interesting than I ever gave it credit for.
A quick question for you, Grace. So if the studio, you know, they do another game, whether that's a sequel or not, just like whatever their next game is, based on what you've heard from the rest of us today? Was that something you know, sort of, well, let me like take a look at this, see what they're doing, like have some interest on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be willing enough to look into it, because like I said, when I watched the trailer for Chia before playing it, there's like the whole thing about the map that like instantly turned me off. But then they get onto the possession mechanic. I was like, oh, okay, like that brought me back. I was like, that could be fun. That could be cool. So it really just kind of comes down to like, if I see something in, so if they make another game and I see something in that game that really draws my attention, I'm like, okay, you know, I'll give it a shot. But if I, like, I watch a lot of trailers, like, sometimes they'll just, like, do nothing for me. I'm like, okay, that exists. And then other times it's like, you know, this looks cool, maybe not this. So it's something that I could try, like, on sale or on Game Pass or whatever. So it kind of depends on what they do next.
I'm actually curious, Grace, because it sounds like from the jump, you were like, I don't want to play this. I don't want anything to do with this. Was there anything, I guess, besides like the map that you saw in the trailer? Like, what was rubbing you the wrong way?
Well, that was like that was my initial thought, was from the trailer. But getting into the game itself, it was just kind of like, it felt like, even if you just like I did, and you just make a beeline through the main quest, it still feels like so much of the game is just kind of a slog, like, because of, for one, like how many of those rhythm sessions are, which I didn't know you could just skip them entirely. I just put them on autoplay. But also, like you would end a chapter and start a new chapter, and like where you'd start the chapter would be like miles away from where you actually need to be, even if you were like close to it at the end of the preceding chapter. So it felt like it would dump you away from somewhere that you needed to be, just to kind of like make you have to explore, or make you at least pad out the game to get there. Like that was the way I was looking at it, and obviously that's probably wrong, but that was, those were my thoughts on it, was that it just felt like it doesn't always allow you to kind of take things at your own pace. And I was just kind of like, I want to get through this, I want to get it done, and it just felt like it didn't want me to.
But like, with the pace that you wanted it to play at, it sounds like it's just like very fast, like they basically just barrel towards the ending kind of deal, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, like I said, that's probably not the correct way to look at it. Gotcha. I mean, obviously, there's not like a right or wrong way to look at any game, but especially one like this, it definitely was not designed for just blowing straight through it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, when I play Madden, I get the ball and I run backwards. Safeties, all game. No correct way.
And the game still just takes as long.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
All four quarters, what's the point?
All right, and then a hobby. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this is a fun little game, charming little game. It's interesting to hear just how dark it gets. I did see the cutscene of the baby getting swallowed and the chicken getting decapitated, and I'm like, okay, this game has a dark sense of humor that I'm quite fond of. I think that's kind of cool that it's throwing that kind of darkness into such a bright, colorful game, but it does sound like it gets even darker. And I mean, I haven't actually seen it myself, so I don't know how it hits for me, but I think that's interesting, I'll say that. But as for what I did play, it has the same, you know, dopamine release for me as like clearing a map in a Ubisoft open world game, which is not a bad thing. It's just we have a whole lot of that out there. But, you know, I like colorful, cartoony platformer kind of games. So this does fit that bill. And I really don't have anything really negative to say about it. I think it's pretty good.
Sweet. And Chris?
I ultimately really liked it. I enjoyed playing. I'm glad Marcus gave this as the one of the choices, and we picked it, because I don't think I would have played it otherwise. I don't even know if I had remembered hearing about it before Marcus suggested it, but yeah, it was a nice, like, very chill kind of experience for the most part. Yeah, it has like those dark elements in the narrative, but like for the most part, the gameplay is just kind of wander around and explore and you know, do these little mini activities that I kind of got into. And also there's something super satisfying, and it's why it works with Assassin's Creed and the Ubisoft kind of open world games, is like having a map filled with shit and then just like, I'm going to go here and collect that, and just moving around your map and clearing all that off. It feels super satisfying to just like clean off a map. And I enjoyed that aspect of it, but like in a micro version, like Assassin's Creed is like 40 times bigger, and Breath of the Wild is so much bigger. And this is like bite-sized version of that type of game. So
yeah. I liked it. And it had a satisfying gameplay loop that it, like, doing that made doing it easier, right? Because you get a bigger stamina meter, you get a bigger possession meter, and you can just go longer and longer distances and really kind of be more efficient. So it was fun.
Yeah. Dax?
Great. Yeah, I mean, basically just an overall wrap up. I really enjoyed the game, and even though I had some issues with the inherent like difficulty level, it's just aesthetically it's on point. It makes you feel all warm and happy inside, yet at the same time, you know, throws enough like story-wise, it throws enough, you know, it throws an oddball enough that you're like, oh wow, I did not expect that from this game. So like, there's some good surprises. The gameplay, the controls, for the most part, I feel like it's on point. It can be a little awkward, but you know, it feels fluid. And yeah, I mean, like, this was the game, the studio's second game. So for a second game, this was really good. And considering the first game only had 3 people working on it, that's, I mean, like, they quadrupled their development dev team for this. And what I'm really looking forward to what.
What was their first game?
Something called Fossil Echo, which was released back in 2016.
Neat.
Yeah, so it took them like 7 years to crank out this game, and I think playing this in between Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, not Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, definitely influenced my opinion on the game. But I'm literally playing the game right now after I finished it, trying to get all the collectibles in the game because I really enjoyed it. And it, like, for everybody who's kind of conflicted about like to pick up this game a full price or not, I feel like this is like the perfect game to get when it comes down to like 15, 20 bucks. So I feel like people are really gonna enjoy this, especially kind of more divorced from kind of Tears of the Kingdom, when you can kind of just appraise it more on its more its own merits. Overall, really liked the game. Trying to find that one enemy, you know, left in each base is a nightmare, though. I mean, I think I ran around like some of the factories for like on one occasion more than 40 plus minutes trying to find like the last 3 or 4 enemies. So that was definitely got its hiccups, but all in all, loved it.
How much is this game? Like, I only played it through the PS Plus service, so
I don't know. I think it's $25. Let me check. Let's see, Steam.
It's not out on Steam yet.
Okay, well, that's the first thing that comes up when I type in Sophia.
Same.
Okay, let's see. Oh, my apologies. It is $30.
Gotcha.
Or it's, if you have
the PS Plus
extra.
Extra. Or extra and premium. Where the two tiers it's on.
Is premium the higher? Is that the high?
The one with all the classics, so, you know, like
okay.
All the Siphon Filter games. It seems, and like that's it. They're it's not a good value. Don't go for premium, folks.
Yes, they added Siphon. Trophies to Siphon Filter though.
Oh. All right. So what are the games we're going for now?
Well, let me post that. Let's see. Okay, we're posting it in old IGN blogs, and we're
VG Club text channel VG Club. Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, for this next episode, we are going to be choosing between SSX 2012, Hitman 2. DMC, Injustice 2.
That's way too many game picks.
You chose quite a bit too.
You gotta post these individually.
So
vote. Oh, sorry. My apologies. All right.
I'll see you put them on new socials.
I copied them all together.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Nope. You're still in new socials, Dex.
I'm still in new social. Ah. I thought I clicked VG Club. Okay. This makes for a great podcast. So,
well, I mean, sorry, this should just be edited out entirely.
Nope, leaving it.
Yeah, come on. Don't make Chris do more work than he has to.
I'll edit out the long silence. It's easy.
With the remove silence button?
No, I'll actually go and cut it, because otherwise stuff does get cut, like a... Grace's voice is sometimes a little too quiet.
Okay.
Oops. No, not a problem on your end. I need to up your amplification when I pull it. But if I just drop it in and do it through a like remove silence, sometimes it cuts if we're a little quiet or back from the microphone.
I didn't even know they made a 2012 SSX.
Oh, that's the 2012 one.
That's the EA.
Is that the one that killed it?
I mean, it was dead. Fun. This was the last, swing at it. It's great.
I have good memories of chasing scores with Fozzie and Jeff and people chasing the times. All right.
We were supposed to use our own, like each use a different reaction.
Nope, all ghosts all the time now, Grace.
Whatever, I don't care.
Is that SSX on EA Play?
I would need to check. Give me just a moment.
You'd have to track down a 360 PS3 copy. I don't know, was it PS4, Xbox One? I don't think
so. No, it was PS3 and 360 only.
Oh, yeah, that ain't getting my vote.
I think it's backwards compatible. I think.
Which one?
SSX.
Yeah, SSX. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, I did my votes.
No, one disappeared.
All right, two. Looks like we've only got one cowboy.
Is that remember, mine are always customized to the game.
Oh, okay.
Thank Hitman 1.
Yeah, I think Hitman 1.
Yeah, I just threw one on Hitman just so there wasn't a tie between Hitman and Kentucky Route.
The world of assassination. Let's enter it.
I'm trying to think. You can play this. You can play Hitman 2 through Hitman 3 these days, yep. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all one game now, technically, I think.
That's the way to play it.
It's Hitman, the world of assassination. It's the whole trilogy. So actually, it might be difficult to... Actually, I don't know. Maybe there's that Hitman menu is like one of the worst menus I've ever seen.
They,
so
they separate out the twos. Like you can very clearly do the two campaign in that. I played it pretty recently.
The three campaigns, right?
Yeah, but I meant the two, like the Hitman 2 campaign. That's what I meant.
I see.
By two.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, next time we will be talking about Hitman 2. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope whoever's listening to this has a wonderful 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long it takes.
What about me?
The other Hitman 2, not the PlayStation 2 Hitman 2.
Well, since you don't
listen shoot. What year is this?
I'm playing that one.
What is this actual second Hitman game that came out back on PC, PS2 generation? Is that Blood Money or is Blood Money 3?
Blood Money, I think, is the third one.
Yeah, Hitman 2 Silent Assassin is Hitman 2.
Okay. Sorry. Hitman 2, I think it came out in 2017?
Oh, but that's the one I'm playing. I ain't going back.
Nope, we're playing Silent Assassin. That's the one that's the one I'm playing.
Good luck.
I'm
going
to come prepared to talk about that one.
2018.
Okay, cool.
And all right. Blood Money was 4.
Well, it was 3 then.
3 was Contracts. Yeah.
Okay.
Too many Hitman games.
So many that there are 2 Hitman 2s.
Yeah, and then we're probably going to get a reboot of the Hitman franchise after this. So we'll probably get another Hitman.
I thought we were just getting James Bond next.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying a different development team's probably going to handle the Hitman. Oh, wait, no. They own it. Yeah,
they own it. It's theirs.
Okay, capitalism doesn't ruin everything. Yay!
Because like Square Enix is like, we don't want this. Get rid of it. You can
have
it.
Get rid of that. Tomb Raider, Deus Ex. You can have it all just for $13 million. Wait, how much is Microsoft buying Bethesda for? Okay. See you folks next time. Bye.
Bye.
Later.